Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AP18 himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, G-Dub himself. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics Podcast. My name is Marvin. Here for the week of May 23rd, May 24th, near the end of May. You know what they say, Alex? Go out high in April, down in May, back up in June, baby.
I like how you got high in April, came back down in May, getting back out there again in June. That's good.
It's a song, Alex.
Who gives a shit?
That's life.
Today I drove home from work, and I had to turn the music off so that I could just enjoy that the birds tweeting outside, the air flowing over my locks, my hair.
Your locks.
Well, I was going to sound really proper, and I thought I sound like a douchebag, which now that I got to explain it, even more douchey.
God, you're such a douche.
Did you hear any geese honking?
I have not seen or heard any geese honking.
What about any badgers badgering?
You know what? That just sounds like they won't shut the hell up.
Well, yeah. What about coyotes coyoting? Coyoting. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
So, you know, actually, something, guys, and this is not going to be interesting whatsoever, but I've been being good about actually beating games. Like, I beat the Hogwarts Legacy recently and Jedi Survivor. Like, so I'm actually Fallen Order, not Survivor. So I actually have been completing the games, and if you had known me prior, I'd never completed anything, right? And right. I've kind of found a way to get through games is I shut the shit off the part of my brain that's like, you have to do all these side missions. Just like, do enough of the side missions that you either are like, it's fun because like, and sometimes it is fun. I think in Horizon, they're fun mini, fun side stories. But then some games, it's just like, it's not that great. And how is I know you haven't played it yet, Garrett, but Hogwarts Legacy, some of the side missions, or actually I would say 75% of them are just like fetch quests. So they're kind of,
dude, I am so fucked on that, and I totally forgot. Nintendo Switch pushed back Hogwarts Legacy to November.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm like, you gotta be fucking with me.
What if you get to play and she watches you play, or she just starts her own on your system so that you guys could play it and talk about it?
Here's what you do.
My PS5 is a one-man show.
You drive over to a little place called Minneapolis. You grab this PS4 from this other guy you know there, and you bring it over, and then she can play on the PS4.
I didn't think about that, but don't have you to pry it from hashtag Guessos One's Dead Cold Fingers.
Why did you have to kill him? Why didn't you just get his ship back?
Because the guy just started Last of Us this week, so for the first time ever.
Respect.
This is hashtag guest host one signing in. How are
that we? That's probably the best decision your brother ever made.
We hear you
talking about me or him.
Well, I'm talking to your brother about you, so it must be you. Gosh.
Best decision I ever made.
Yeah, following in my footsteps.
3 years, 4 years, 5 years later, you're playing The Last of Us?
I am playing Last of Us.
Nice.
It's The Last of Us, you fucking noob.
What did I say?
You just said Last of Us. Gosh.
Okay.
What a noob.
Corey, if I remember correctly, you're not going to watch the show until you complete the game, right?
Right.
Okay, so the reason why I called you is I got to ask you a question on behalf of your brother. But before we get there, I was talking about how that I started completing more and more games, but for a while I was horrible about completing games. And one game I went back to during that saga of not completing games, I was like, I'm finally going to finish this game, is a game called Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, fuck. So good.
So I'm playing that yesterday, and I'm doing a mission, and afterwards I was like, I got some time to kill. I just went to go do some hunting. And speaking of badgers, this badger bites me in the foot. And I punted that guy, and turns out that's how you can kill some badgers. So that's a little hint for everybody.
Did you wear the badger as a hat?
Yeah, I did. I kicked him. He died, and I said, "Come here, you're my new hat."
Some people
that was a fun game, but I just remember playing it forever.
Some people call that the Davy Crockett. All right, now continue.
I think isn't that
a raccoon? Sure, that was a fucking raccoon, Corey. Well, too soon.
You know what we call a guy who was a badger on his fucking head? A fucking badass.
Yeah. That game is so much fun, but Garrett is right. It is a long one. So
I never finished the epilogue, so that was literally two more chapters of the base game, like lengthwise, and I'm like, no way, I gotta move on.
So Corey,
what I would do is I would go to the far upper left of the map to like the snowy land, and there's an Arabian horse up there, and then the way I was able to capture that horse, the dumb horse jumped in the water, and so I jumped on it from the ice into the water, so that way he couldn't buck me off because we were in the water, and that's how I got the horse.
And then you both died of hypothermia.
We both died.
Alex, listen here. Let me know if I'm crazy. Did this motherfucker just tell me hold on the show? To push through to the next segment.
Hey, I just gave you the ultimate cheat code. Get that fucking horse in the water.
So anyways, I call you for entertainment news. I don't call you for a horse cheat. I'm not out here trying to get mare main tips, you know what I mean?
All right. My expertise are not being used in this way.
Hold on a second. Like we're around a goddamn table for lunch. Corey, I'm calling you because I'm hearing that this Flash movie is good, from Stephen King, Tom Cruise. Now it's even a meme. I see Gandhi said it was good. Did you see that meme going around? Everybody now saying, "Yeah, I saw Flash and it was great." And it's like Gandhi and Barack Obama and stuff like that. Anyways, but they brought it to fucking Cannes. And premiered it there, and everybody said there was good. And I'm like, holy shit, they brought it to a film festival. First off, they're not hiding it. It's not like their other movies where they don't show it till like the night before. They brought it to a film festival at least a month, if not a month and a half early. And people are saying it's great. Is this the surprise comeback of 2023?
Yeah. I mean, maybe, because I still think it's going to be like a 70-75% on Rotten when it's all said and done, because of what I've heard. You know, I've heard it's like there's some great moments, not the greatest movie I've seen, but just like a good wholesome romp.
Well, a 75 for DC is like a fucking 95. So
now, what I wish they didn't do, tangent, that they didn't premiere Indiana Jones 5 at Cannes, because I've heard it's aight.
Yeah, they said actually the only reason why they premiered there is because they brought Harrison Ford over to give him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and they said that they didn't think he would come unless they played.
I'm just like, all the reviews I've heard, I'm like, yeah, it's better than Crystal Skull, but not the trilogy.
Yeah, Indiana
Jones. I've heard Crystal Skull is better.
Really?
Listen, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Mid is going to be this old man. We knew he's going to be flopping around on that screen. So, I mean,
hey, you guys already know how I feel about Crystal Skull. I like that movie.
We'll see. I don't know. This trailer looks, I think the trailer looks good for that movie. I just don't know how much he can add to it. Like, certainly the scenes where he's young, they're just, you know, mapping his face onto some young stunt person's body. It's not actually him. And so I am interested in those parts. And I wish maybe if Harrison was okay with that, I would love to be like, let's go see him. Let's go. This is when Indiana Jones was, you know, between the first and the second movie. Let's go make a movie then. So I'm not sure what to expect. I think it's just gonna be a lot of flashbacks. And I don't know. I'm curious how much of the present day stuff you'll see of a older Harrison, because he could barely do the moves. And I agree with you, Corey. I think it's still a fun movie, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But he was barely moving then.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be. I mean, you know, hey, he's riding that horse, man. Coming back to the horse. But, I mean, I think I bet a third of it is flashback, like of him at that young de-age technology.
Don't worry, though. When they're done with that, I am ready here with Indiana Jones and the Unicorn's Legacy. I'm ready.
Right.
It's going to swoop in, and we're going to, you know, I'll test it in the comic as a comic first, see if people like it, and then they'll adapt it for big screen.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Harrison Ford found his niche, though, because, like, he's going to be Thunderbolt Ross, and I'm like, bro, I mean...
CGI, he can, yeah, he can James Earl Jones it as much as he wants.
Yeah. It's going to have to.
But you know how the Indiana Jones gets the unicorn horn? He runs up to it, his stomach starts to hurt, and he pulls out a pistol and just, boom, headshots it and rips off the horn. There you go.
Like Chuck Norris.
Sorry, I didn't give a graphics warning
Corey,
to the audience.
I'm over here. I'm about to segue into Ray Stevenson dying, and you're over here talking about a unicorn getting chopped off.
No, he gets shot in the head, and then Indiana rips off the horn.
This is worse.
I don't think the unicorn's horn.
Yeah, very Alex, tragic news though about Ray.
Don't bring it back to the unicorn. Ray Stevenson, the Punisher from Punisher Warzone, best Punisher movie ever.
I've never seen it actually.
And then
they're lying that it's the best Punisher movie.
And playing Volksav in the Thor movies, first three.
Yep, and he's going to be in the new Ahsoka series coming out in August as a Sith.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess
he looks pretty awesome in that trailer.
He's young. He's 53. I don't know. I don't think they had a cause of death on that, but that's a real sad one. I think Ray Stevenson is he's kind of up there for me in like the pantheon of male actors that like aren't like mainstream actors, but they get enough work where they do a lot of cool stuff. So Ray Stevenson, I feel like also. Shit, I just had his name, Carl Urban, like these kind of guys. It's sad that he's so young, but he's a guy who was in a few comic book properties. And I don't know what Garrett is saying over there, but Warzone, when he punches that person's face in and it caves in, I don't know how you can get better than that.
Oh, God. He's just rocking at the guy who's doing parkour on the roof.
Garrett, I thought we watched that movie.
You and I did.
I watched it on my own, and then I think we talked about it. But
oh yeah, we talked about it. That's what it was.
Because there's no way I didn't sit down in one sitting and watch that movie for sure.
Okay, well, you know, soon we might be sitting down for a session of Captain America, the first one they ever made. It's on Amazon, so you know we might, you know, see the silver screen together again. Who knows? Yeah, so they said about him passing, that was totally unexpected. And I feel like I totally forgot that he was in those Thor movies until he passed away and it said in his byline that he was. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because they weren't in the fourth one, right?
Right.
And I think actually they died in the third one. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which is sad because I feel like that was them saying we're done with like the one Thor 1 and 2 kind of setting and tone and everything, and they moved on to this funny Thor. But I thought those guys were good, especially when they switched over and that was Zachary Levi instead of the person prior. So sad times. Well, speaking of Zachary Levi, his movie tanked the bed. That's Shazam. So I know that the director said that James Gunn said there would be a place for Shazam, that version of the Shazam in the new DC universe, as long as it did well, and so I guess not. I guess America spoke, and they said, "Oh, you're going to give us an option?" They said no,
which is crazy because based on what I've seen in the trailers, like this premiered on Max, and I'm excited to watch it. But like the first one was so good.
I know. I think I heard that it's just like super predictable. And not too exciting. We'll see. Corey, anything else happening in Hollywood?
Let's see here. What else has been percolating?
Family X came out. I mean, Fast X.
Yeah, Fast X part 1 of 3.
Speaking of which, this is a good segue that you brought this up here, Garrett, and we're going to act like this was planned. Did you see Michelle Rodriguez, one of the stars?
Oh, I saw that.
One of the stars of probably, what, 8 of the 10? 7 of the 10. Because she's not in the third one either. No, wait.
Not in the fifth one either. One. She's not even in it.
And she was complaining. She's saying, what's with these Marvel movies? They're making too many of them. When do they, don't they know when to stop making them? They're 10 in on this car movie.
Yeah. That's whatever.
You literally drove a car into space. Like,
she died and came back.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
She has one line in those movies. You know what it is? Dom! Dom! Dom!
Dom, give me a massage. I think you need to go give me a massage. There.
I will also say, she should be thankful. And nothing against Michelle Rodriguez, actually, because I do like her from Lost. I think she was good in that show. I think she does.
The one episode she was in?
She's in a lot of episodes. That's...
Spoiler alert.
She's in more than one, bro.
She's in
a couple.
What, two and a half
know,
or
but
two?
But it's like limited when they were kind of trying to do a semi spin off of the other
was
side
she
of
in...
the island.
She was in seasons 2 and 3, right?
I don't remember specifics. Oh, I don't. Nice. She might Anyways, have cameoed in one.
This is nothing against her, but I am saying that she doesn't bring much to the pantheon of great performances in those movies. And I don't think Vin also. Vin, I don't think he's ever delivered a line where, at least in this franchise, I think he's good in other stuff. In this franchise, I don't think he's ever delivered a line with any kind of nuance.
Hey.
I live my life a quarter mile at a time.
But she should just be grateful.
I remember everything about my father.
But she should be grateful for 10 movies that we'd have allowed that relationship to be on screen because there's no chemistry there whatsoever. They treat each other like brother and sister. I don't know what's going
right.
on with
that. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know right. what? I guess we'll have to see it because, you know, mm-hmm. you can't go 9 in and not see the rest of them.
Yeah, I saw the last nine. One's
I could barely watch 9, but...
Yeah, so. And that's coming from three people who used to love the fuck out of those movies.
I know.
I've never seen a single one, so guess
my
what?
My headcanon 7's the last one, but I'll still, at some that's, point when it's streaming for free...
That's the one that ends where our boy dries off?
Yep.
Yeah, that's me too.
And he's like, fuck this franchise. Alex, literally in the last movie in the trailer, there's a scene where they're on an island and Vin Diesel's car rams a bridge post and he bungee jumps his car to another island across the way.
What?
Yeah.
Alex.
Somehow the rope, he like rams it at like 80 miles per hour. Somehow this rope attaches to his car and like slingshots him to another island.
Alex, this is based on science.
Honestly, this is definitely not a movie I could ever watch. He's dead.
No.
He's dead. They're all dead.
Yeah.
Alex needs to watch like 5 or 6. Like, what's the one where they jump between the two buildings?
That's
the
7.
Oh,
7?
That's 7.
5 yeah, through yeah. 7, Alex needs to watch, and I need to hear his commentary on it.
They're actually pretty damn good.
They are good, but Alex is going to be like, house as possible when he sees that they... slingshot themselves from one building to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing really happens, Alex. No airbags. Airbags don't go off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I bet they had to have those removed so that they, you know, either died on contact or didn't get blinded when they ran into
something. They needed room for the NOS.
And I believe one of those two, maybe it's Hobbs and Shaw that I'm thinking of, which is pretty sad that I also saw that movie. Anyways, off of this family, what did you call it? The family trilogy? Family saga?
Yeah, family X.
Trilogy.
Family X. Speaking of which, so it's been a little bit now, and I think we can kind of move on from Guardians 3, which I think was great. Good. I don't know. But I go back and forth on it. I feel like there's some parts of it that... I think back and I'm like, I think that part could have been better, but the parts that are great are great. Anyways, Vin Diesel in that movie as Groot. I wanted to ask you guys.
Or is he in that movie?
Well, this is what I'm going to ask you guys. How much longer did they pay this guy to do nothing?
I heard it's like over $11 million.
Because he doesn't even do the capture. He's never on set.
Yeah.
And can he be replaced with AI? Alex, your take.
So he's getting paid to literally just say, I am Groot multiple different ways, right?
You're right.
For $11 million. Shit. How do you get that job? I could do that job. I've been asked when I'm at work by a guest, do I do cartoon work? I don't. But if they're looking for it, I said, let me know. I'll do it.
You have to have that kind of deep voice there. So
I am Groot.
We are Groot.
Everybody can do it.
I like how Alex just went, and then he did it.
Right.
Or whatever you did, Alex, before you said that, it sounded like you did a big gulp, like you were nervous. Corey, anything else today? I don't think there's much.
I was going to start, and then we got on this fast go ahead. Next tangent. That next week is Across the Spider-Verse.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then the trailer for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 dropped. It's pretty damn great.
Oh, wait, it's out already?
Trailer, yes.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant this can come out with that movie. No. I haven't seen it yet. I gotta watch that. That's a movie that's been in production for a long time during the pandemic, and it got shut down a couple times.
Yeah, I think they were filming part one and part two
back to back. Yeah, so. They said, "Hey, if we can't show these, people aren't going to the movie theaters at the time, at least. Why don't we just film them back to back and have two movies in the can?" Which is probably super smart, considering that Tom Cruise, even though the man is,
fucking insane,
and he will not be stopped by aging. He is getting pretty old, so eventually, it's got to at some point affect him. But
right.
But you know what? That's the thing. Tom Cruise, if he was never involved in the cult that he is, I feel like everything I hear about that guy is great. Besides that, so
yeah,
true. So
get a couple of these out there. I love those movies. Probably my favorite franchise out of all franchises. I don't think there's a bad one in the bunch. They all kind of are different in their own way. And I think they're all entertaining. They all set out what they want to do. And they all accomplish it. Even people I know are down on two, but I feel like if you like John Woo, I feel like it's an okay John Woo movie. And I think Tom Cruise is great in it, as always. But is Tom Cruise ever going to be in a Marvel movie there, Garrett?
What was that?
Tom Cruise, ever in a Marvel movie.
Ooh, see, I thought when they did, I was really hoping in Multiverse of Madness they would show him as... like Superior Iron Man, but no dice. Because like he was in the running to be Iron Man way back when. So
I remember you saying that on the
and
show.
He's like, I'm too good for that shit.
And it never came out.
That would have been so cool.
Yeah, like showing him with, you know, how he wears the headband instead of the mask. It's like, no way would Tom Cruise wear something where he has to wear a mask.
Right.
He wouldn't do a Tom Hardy role, so...
So actually, next week is Into the Spider-Verse, or Across the Spider-Verse, excuse me. And I'm excited to see it. It's one of the movies that my sons have been looking forward to for a while, so I'll probably go see that. But after that, we also have a little Transformers action.
Yeah, no, screw that.
You're not going to go watch... Have you seen Bumblebee?
I've seen Bumblebee.
It's the same guy who made Bumblebee, isn't it?
No.
It's not.
I think it's back to Michael Bay.
It's not.
No.
We'll see you there.
Even in the trailers, there's not enough explosions for that.
Yeah, I didn't see any sweeping around, like a 360 sweeping shot.
And Megan Fox is in
it, so. First week at Wednesday the 7th is the first.
Yeah, see, Steve Coppell Jr. is directing it. Also known for Creed 2.
I just have
he is not the director of the first one, but I believe maybe the writer. Let's see. Oh no, we have the writer of The Flash. This guy has two movies coming out back to back, and then we have The Flash, which is after that, isn't it? It's somewhere in that this next few week range within the month.
Yeah, June 16th is when The Flash comes out.
So this guy wrote The Flash and Transformers. This guy has a chance why am I saying this guy? What's his name? I just had it right here. This Mr.
Stephen Coppell Jr.
Joby Harold is possibly wrote two blockbusters of the summer. So it's the summer of Joby. And we're going to keep that going here on Wednesday Comics, the summer of Joby. And we're excited for these movies. Corey obviously is going to go see it. He's still located in the entertainment capital of the world, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he goes down to the a Regal? What do you got down there?
Showplace Icon.
That's right. The Icon Showplace. And, Garrett, what do you got over there?
We got an imagine with an E.
What are you talking about? Does an OS have an E?
I was saying imagine always has an E at the end.
Huh?
At the end?
No, in the beginning. Sorry.
E. Oh,
it's E-M-A-G-I-N-E.
First off, you walk in there and you ask, who named this building?
Who skipped?
I don't know. I think that person is dead.
Alex is on his way. He would not let that stand. That's not how you spell that.
What kind of dumb shit?
It doesn't even make sense. Is there an E dash imagine?
Nope, it's E imagine. He's right. Because we have an E imagine in a neighboring district here.
Oh, okay. So you guys got an E imagine. We got a Cinemark over here in the old SFSD. And we'll go see those movies and see how they are. Alex, he's going to put it on the backload.
I ain't seen shit, guys. Come on.
This man's over here.
Combing the desert. Get it? Because he ain't seen shit.
You're talking about, is that Star Wars reference?
Spaceballs?
Spaceballs. In a way, it's Star Wars adjacent, so he doesn't pay attention to that.
Yogurt. I hate yogurt.
I love yogurt.
Corey, I want to let you know my first instinct was to laugh, but nobody else did, so I held it in.
There's only one man who dad give me the raspberry. Lone Star.
All right. Take it to ludicrous speed.
Hashtag guest host one. Why don't we give her a sign off here?
This is hashtag guest host one signing off. And remember, stay classy, San Francisco, and take only what you need to survive. Adios.
Couldn't take any more of that. Let's talk about some comics coming out this week. First up in the docket here is a book we'll be talking more about later, at least the first issue, Forge number 3, Greg Rucka and Eric Trondheim. For 10,000 years, the Eternal Empire spread across the galaxy. In all that time, there's never been an actual first contact with another alien race. This issue, the Forge meet their neighbors. Spoilers, their neighbors are fucking pissed. Here we go with the Forged.
That's the best way to lead it. By the way, the neighbors are fucking pissed.
We'll talk more about that later. The first issue here, Alex, but 3 issues in, what you feeling like?
So I read issue 1 and 2 today. I actually read 2, so the fact I could actually put 3 on my list. I'm excited for this book. This actually hasn't been too bad of a read. It took me to get into the second issue to finally kind of set the standard for what this book could be. I told the guys it's kind of like a bitch planet meets Gears of War meets Anthem, which I feel like is a very good description of this book. All these chicks are badass, kicking the shit out of everybody. I'm excited to see where this book could go, and I have high hopes for it, especially since Greg Rucka, I don't know what else he's actually writing. So to know that there at least is somewhat of a ongoing book going on, because we're still looking for Black Magic and Lazarus.
I can't speak to Black Magic, but I believe Lazarus is always always being held up because of the art, not because of his writing. But
agreed.
Well, he said he'd take a year, so it's gonna be a while.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little bit.
Well, I know when they come back prior with Lazarus, they're gonna wrap it up.
Prior to that, it was 1 a year. So, you know what? Let's talk about that first issue right now, because I want to say stuff about this book, and I think if we dance around it, then it adds nothing to me. Just being like, I'm gonna talk about it later. So, the art, Eric Trondheim, I think he did a couple of runs on Thor with Jason Aaron. I think so. I think that if I remember correctly. But in this book, his style is very different and actually almost looks like our buddy over there, Mr. Rob, exclamation point. Yeah. And, Ron, excuse me, Jesus. Ron Guillory. And especially in those close-up scenes at the end when they're in the mechs and you're seeing like the readout and stuff like that. I thought it was very much how, Guillory's art is, and so I actually really enjoyed it, even though it was a little bit different. And Greg Rucka, speaking of Greg Rucka, I would never, if you were to show me who wrote this book, I would never say Greg Rucka. I mean, maybe because of all the world building and all, like all the extra stuff in that first issue, which to me, Gary, you said before the show, you spoke about it for a second, that you read this once before and then you came back to it. And the first time you didn't enjoy it, you actually liked it better the second time. I was going to literally say, I feel like I would like this better on a second read.
Yeah, I think it's just like, you know, there's so much thrown at you that like going back and doing it again, I'm like, okay. Because like I read it the first time and I mean, talk about Lazarus world building times a billion. Like you have the different types of people again. You have like this code for like settings and stuff, like where they're at, what they're doing. And it was just a lot to take in. And
no, you're right.
Sometimes I like to go into a comic and just like get into the story, but it was so much like world building that it kind of took me out the first time. Second time, I just ignored all that shit and I enjoyed it. I mean, the art's incredible. And, you know, it was easier for me to like follow the story when it's kind of like, hey, we're not supposed to know everything yet. Cause like when the Cassandra?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cassandra, gives like the visions to, Vic or Victory. You know, and there's parts that like, she's like calling all these shots on this mission and we don't know why. And like, we're going to get like flashbacks as to why she's doing these missions. So they did it in a cool way. Cause usually I hate flashbacks like this, but, I am intrigued. I mean, giving it a fair shake a second time was a good idea. Cause now I'm going to keep reading it.
Yeah. To your point about it seeming like world building times 10 compared to what it usually does, I felt the same way. Especially in the, first half. And I was almost thinking to myself, and I always say that like there's two things that a first issue has to do in order to, I think, be a great first issue, is that it needs to hook them in, hook you in with it, like an interesting, something has to happen in that first issue where I'm like, oh, that's cool, I want to read more of this, but also needs to give you a taste of the world enough that I understand what the world is, and I can decide whether or not I want to jump onto the book. But I think this gave more than a taste. I think this was like trying to feed you the meal. I'm not ready for the meal yet. Like, it was just a lot of stuff up front. I remember it was Greg Rucka. And so at a certain point, I think I did exactly what you said, Garrett. Like, I was like, I'm not even going to read those location names right now. And I think maybe that's why I missed that map. Cause I was like, I'm just going to pay attention to what the story is and the characters and read their names, and everything else I'm going to put on hold for right now.
My favorite thing about this whole book was the, when they are in their mechs, each of the word bubbles coincides with a certain character. So green was Vic, the red one was Crazy Joe, blue and yellow were Hap and Push, I think. Well, anyway, I like the fact that they all had different colors so that you didn't have to try to figure out which bubble was going to who. You just had to know what color went to who. It was, I loved it. It's awesome.
Oh my God, guys. There we go. Sorry, guys. I had to get up and turn on my fan. I felt like I was going to pass out. If you know the studio.
We remember how hot I can get in that room. So
Alex, anything you just said, it was a mercy. I don't mean no disrespect. I was halfway to Jesus by then.
You're on death's door. I get it.
That's why I was like, yeah, the world building. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I'm passing out here. But I feel like it also... And you might have said this too, Alex, like, because you've read the second issue, that, I mean, there are certain things in this world, entertainment-wise, that you just have to, like, give yourself up to the creators and be like, okay, I'm just going to believe in you. And I don't know what's going on with the world and all this stuff in this first issue, but I trust Greg enough to be like, okay, I'm sure I'll figure it out, or at least know enough to get the story. And if I want to learn more, then I'll learn more. So, because there's obviously the Greg Rucka staple at the end, as you stated, Alex, map. And then they also had like a prose section, which if you've read any Greg Rucka books, like that's par for the course. And him building the world, I think, is part of what he does. And so I think any book of this kind of scale for him is an opportunity just to world build in the ways that he likes to, and he likes to just do it in multiple ways like this. So,
well, and in book two, he does his standard recap page for you to give you a breakdown of what you should have learned in the last episode or last issue, and get you back into the book for what you're going to currently see.
So, now, when you say standard, you mean the ones he would never put in Black Magic?
Correct. You're right. Yes.
Imagine Black Magic, he's like, I make this book, you better fucking remember what happened.
Black Magic, even I feel like.
Years. So it reminds him of what you should have known. It's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
That and does,
I
thought yeah. that
was like, Black Magic, he didn't even find shit.
I'm pretty sure in Black Magic, he was like, I don't remember what's going on. So
yeah, I can't tell you. I'm just trying to finish this fucking book and I can't get there.
And that's on pause. So that and Black Monday Murders. That was a curse.
Oh, we're never getting that.
That was a curse time.
That's Hickman.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm just saying those two were came out around the same time, and those Black Magic and Black Monday Murder books are.
Didn't get to issue 8, and then it's like out of 12 and just stopped.
I thought we got to issue like 6.
Yeah, I think it's like
And it progressively got thinner and thinner as we went. But it's going to be Shield all over again. Marvin was reading Shield from Hickman. And then they went on that 7-year hiatus, and all of a sudden, hey, we're coming back and finishing up. Oh, okay.
Hickman's still working on that X-Men finale, so.
And he's also rebooting the Ultimate Universe, so he's going to be busy for a little bit, so.
Yeah, true.
I was going to say, Alex, and you kind of brought this up before, that this is in prestige format. Yeah. And digitally, it reads a little weird, I feel like. I feel like it's wider than it is taller. And so, like, the widescreen pages, like, it was good to go portrait with landscape mode. But portrait mode, I almost think like it's a little too small, at least for digitally. So this is one where, like, it's obviously made to be held in your hands, as you stated, Alex, the pulp. And digitally, I don't know if they really figured out how to capture the feeling of this book. But
well, that's like, there's that big page, I think it's a 2-page spread, or even it's just a full page. When the spaceship comes out of the super speed.
Yeah.
And when you get to enjoy it in its glory, or when the Cassandra takes over the captain's the captain's mind and shows him all these thoughts that he's having, to see it and the way it's meant to be seen was fantastic. I imagine, yeah, your tablets, your phones could probably do it just fine. But it's not quite the same as opening that book, smelling that pulp air come off the book. Fantastic. My room smells like that now all the time. It's phenomenal. It's like being in a comic book store.
So look forward to it. And as you said, 2 was good. So 3's coming out this week. So go ahead and pick that up. As Alex said, in physical format, if you want to smell that pulp. Digital format was fine. I'm just saying it feels like I'm missing some sort of experience that Craig meant you to feel. So number 2 on the list, super. Oh, my God. Here it is. Super, did I close the web page? Nope, Supermassive, here we go. A Supermassive 2023, one shot. Kyle Higgins, Ryan Pratt, Melissa Fortes, Matt Groom, and Danielle Del Nicuro. Doorway has opened. Beyond it lands the Holy Grail. Yes, the Holy Grail. But why are Radiant Black, Rogue's son, and the dead Lucky also desperate to get their hands on it? And who is the mysterious woman who stands in the way? This 50-page one-shot crossover event. Garrett, what do you think?
Super excited. Supermassive last year was a lot of fun. I'm really digging this Image universe, like superhero universe that they're bringing together with Radiant Black, Radiant Pink, No One, Rogue Sun, and I think there's another one. There's tons of these books, and they've all been, you know, why can't I think of his name? Kyle Higgins. Yeah, Kyle Higgins, you know, I haven't seen him really do anything like this passionate in a long time. The Cowl universe shares the same universe as this, Supermassive, so that's pretty cool. So yeah, I think Kyle Higgins is just having fun, and you know, if you guys remember that sci-fi book he did where he was like all depressed and like whatever, it's like this is a complete 180 from that, and I think he's just doing great work, and this has been a lot of fun. So this is the culmination of 2023 for Supermassive and kick off some storylines for the next year.
Supermassive. There you go. Supermassive Games made Little Big Planet, which is one of Sony's big titles. Sackboy, have you heard of him? Are you reading this because you like Sackboy? Is he going to appear?
I don't know about that. I don't know who Sackboy is. No, that's from the video. Yeah, I know who Sackboy is, but no, he's probably not going to appear.
He's a sack. Hear me out. He's a sack. Looks like a boy.
All right.
Fury number one, Al Ewing, Ramon Rosanas, and Scott Eden, Adam Kubert on that cover. Who is Scorpio? And that's Alex says that's a not an allegram. What do they call that when it's just the letters
allegory?
And they spill out something?
Oh, so a malmogram or almogram? I can't even say it.
No, it says S C O R P I O, and they're all dotted, and it stands for a longer thing.
Acronym.
Acronym. Jesus. I totally fucked things up with that anagram. Acronym. Who is Scorpio? It's an acronym there, Alex. A glorious, glamorous. Jesus Christ, glamorous. You know, I don't know why here. Here's why I'm fucking up with this one.
It's the heat. It's the heat, Marvin.
Not only is it the heat, for some reason, I just realized I was doing it. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I have my arm extended, and the phone is the farthest it could be from me, and I'm trying to read it. Hold it closer. Daddy's got bad eyes. A glamorous rogue agent with a deadly secret lures Nick Fury into the action thriller of his life, his father's. Following the trail opens, never before seen Fury files from the howling 40s, the swinging 60s, and today. But it takes more than one Nick Fury to unlock a mystery decades in the making and to answer the question, who is Scorpio? So I enjoy Al Ewing. I looked at the cover and it has... the classic Fury. It has Fury from, I believe, Vietnam. And then it has the Ultimate Fury, which became the basically... In this universe, he's still his son. Right. Nick Fury.
Yep.
What is it? Does he have a different
name? I believe
so. He had a different name, and then he just goes by Nick Fury now. Or he took that name. He changed his name to Nick Fury. Anyways, Fury number one. I'll tell you this. I'm excited because of Al and because of Nick Fury, which is one of my favorite characters. And also it's going to be like a flashback to these decades in which I've read Fury books from these times and I really enjoy them, especially like the spy and the war stuff. The only thing that I'm kind of shaky on is a Marvel book right now. I don't know. They all have a certain kind of style that I just don't enjoy and watch anymore. And I haven't read one in a little while, I don't believe. At least one that's been coming out recently. So we'll see. I'm a little hesitant, but I feel like if anything's got a shot, it's this. Fury number one.
Well, you'll have to let me know because I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't recognize the creative team. And I was like,
isn't there something about it, right? That this, like, it seems like it should be good, but also you're like, it doesn't seem like it's trying too hard.
Right. It's like, what's the point of the story?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I looked at it and was like, this has Marvin written all over it. But for some reason, even the fact that I like Al Ewing, but this has Marvin this has Marvin written all over it. But for some reason, I can't get excited about it. I'm just looking at it being like, I think it's going to be good. But if it's bad, I wouldn't be disappointed. I'd be like, that's what I thought.
I'm a little weary just because, you know, we are within a month of Secret Invasion coming out. And I'm like, you're not doing this book because of that, are you?
Oh, yeah, they are.
Of course they are.
Definitely. And if my phone didn't freeze, I would tell you. Oh, no, there it is. I don't know if you also noticed there is a... Oh, God. No, it closed down. Echo, Daredevil and Echo book coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Is that show premiering soon?
No, that one's on...
Echo?
Well, Echo is on hold, and so is Daredevil, because it's for the writer's strike.
Right. Boy, they must have thought it would be closer to being out by now, so they had it planned. Because mm-hmm. I was like... that's the thing with like navigating this space right now, and I think maybe that you might have hit the nail on the head there. Maybe the reason I can't get excited for it is because I know, subconsciously, I was like, this is obviously just coming out, because Nick Fury is going to be the talk of the town soon, hopefully. And they're hoping to have some people be like, I want to read more Fury books. I'm going to go find Fury number one and be like, I want to read that.
Because was there a Guardians book that came out this past month?
Yeah, they did a new number one.
Yeah, they rebooted it, yeah.
Okay.
Tell you, it's like fucking clockwork. I'm telling you, there's going to be a new Marvel book coming out. Marvel's, either Miss or Captain, sometime later this year. Look for it.
I don't know. Kelly Thompson's been working on Captain Marvel now for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah, wow.
She's done, I think, 49 or 50 issues that has come out. So.
When does that movie come out again? August? November?
Why? No, November. I think you're right. November.
So that's number... So 3 months prior to that is August. In August, we'll hear how she's not in that book anymore. So how they're rebooting it. So because that's when Solicits come out, 3 months prior. So get ready.
Hey, I wanted to tell you guys something. I had done an order for some books recently, and I saw that New Burn is coming out in 2 months. Number nine?
New Burn
from Chip.
Oh, geez. That's been a long time.
Yeah, that's been... gone a little bit, so. Well, not so new anymore, but we'll take a look at that when it comes out. So, brought to you by Rainbow ComicsandCards.com. Rainbow ComicsandCards.com. Go there and find some books. Go ahead and place a hold on all the Fury number ones and go ahead and pick them up because I'm just kidding. That's going to be the best book of the fucking year. You get that book, you get it in your hands, as Alex call it. Maybe scrape close. Buy two copies. One of them to scrape into a nice little paste. You put it in the diffuser and you breathe it in, like make it become part of you. And the other one you read.
Is that still... when you get lung cancer because you just breathe in pages? You only have yourself to blame.
Alex, even if you buy two copies, is that still blasphemy to ruin one of them?
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to send you, Alex, this TikTok guy cuts up comics to like make notebook covers. Next time I see one, I'm going to send it to you.
You know what the weird thing is? That so I've gotten books that are damaged, and I still don't have the heart to ruin them more. I had one that had like a drop of water. I had one that, that had a page to it. And I just like, yeah, I could take these outside. Wait. I could cut them up. I could shoot them with a gun. But guess what?
What was the second one? What happened?
It had like a torn cover page.
Yeah. I like how Alex is like, they're destroyed. And he's like, a drop of water.
Hey. They're destroyed. They're
you know what destroyed is, Alex, is when you have a puppy who destroyed an issue and shows no remorse in his eyes.
Was it Saga number one?
No, it was... hear me out. I don't know where he found this issue. He's better at locating it than me. I don't know what box he found this in because it's not a newer book. It goes back a few years. I think it was an issue of Super Sons, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
But not like the initial first few. It was like one of the later ones. So I didn't feel too bad about it. I did feel bad on the principle, but not about the issue specifically. So, yeah, Alex, I wish that he was just drinking water trying to read it and he dropped the drop on there.
Dude, you know what the weird thing? It wasn't even... like I was drinking near it. I walked outside after I had bought it, and it was raining outside. And I always turn my book, the bag upside down, and I cover it up so that no water gets in. But I sat it in my car, and the tiniest little speck came flying in, whoop, right on the front, right next to Shadow Cat's face from Marauders number one. It ruined my day.
Alex is talking about this like the Sabrina film and how JFK got shot from the side. He's like, it just came in, got it right there in the face, and I was like, it's done. I'm never going to see the thing again. Well, hopefully you got a chance to read it. I know you did because we talked about it on the show. So.
Well, and I bought a replacement. Don't worry.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Next, Animal Man. Oh, sorry, Garrett. We have a book club.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Listen, when it's my book, I just want to talk about it. I forget about the
Wednesday Comics League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Animal Man number 2. I was waiting for Alex for some reason. Animal Man number 2. Jeff Lemire and Travel Foreman. Excuse me. Second issue picks up right where this last one left off with. Buddy telling his daughter, Little Wing, Not a real name. I think it's
Maxine.
And you can't be making these animals come back to life. And then, by the way, the most intentionally, but also like the best part of this book. And I think, so the horror is still great. And I think the family dynamic is still great. The superhero connectedness with the old tree and the red, and what do they call it? Not the red.
Oh, it is the red.
It's the red.
The red palace. All that aside, but Buddy's son, when he's like, hey, go fix those holes before it's daytime. And then it just cuts through in the background. You see him with the shovel in hand. He's like, be right back. I don't know how much I laughed at that. It was, I don't know why. It's not like, I think it's just like a stupid thing. Like he's in the back and he's so excited to go out there and just fill holes with dirt. Come on.
Jeez.
And I was thinking, I was like, I feel like Jeff and his other books, like there's attempts at humor, but I don't think I've ever laughed out loud at one of his books. And so it caught me by surprise to have a joke like that in there.
Which joke?
The sun.
The sun is getting ready with the shovel to go outside. See you later.
Oh. See you later. Garrett,
To Marvin, that's a joke. To me, I'm like, yeah, this kid's a weirdo.
You didn't see his face.
He is a fucking weirdo.
That was funny about it.
Pictures of these dead animals. By the way, everyone is handling it like a pro. I'm sorry, if my daughter resurrected a dozen dead animals, some of them with maggots and some of them just skeletons, she's got a skeleton cat sitting on the counter,
you know,
giving it milk, and the mom goes, I told you not to feed that thing. You're making a mess all over the counter. She goes, she has a name. It's Mrs. Pickles.
Oh, my God.
And when she's leaving, dude, she's like, stay in the basement.
Cliff and Maxine are terrifying. I'm like, these kids, they're a little odd. They're a little odd.
You just love Cliff's haircut. You wish you could have that haircut.
I wish.
Sweet ass mullet, of course.
But yeah, this issue for me, like, really upped the horror aspect. Because, like, I thought the cliffhanger from issue one, seeing Maxine with all those dead pets, but then seeing that, like, more dead pets and more dead animals, and then the rot basically taking over at the zoo.
The hippos, like, yeah.
God damn.
Popping out of the beard.
When the hippos start exploding, holy shit.
Yeah, and then like the zookeepers get like brainwashed too by the, yeah. They're like the council or whatever.
And you see the people waiting outside of the zoo to go in. It's not like really open yet. And you realize that there may be, and it's like a pending doom for these ones, unless whatever Buddy and Maxine are trying to do will work. But who knows? I will say, yeah, that aspect of it, like, it really does feel like this issue specifically decided to be like, Jeff was like, you know what? We had it. I feel like we had a nice tone. And if that was issue one, so if you're sticking around and it didn't scare you off, here's two where it's going to be five times the amount. Because, like, that guy's hand, too, when she makes it a chicken leg and then it goes back to a hand, and it's all, like, squishy trying to go back to the hand shape. It had a lot of this gross kind of horror element to it. And I feel like Travel Foreman's art, and then also like when they were morphing into the red place, their face is stretched and you just see it. It's not like, it's not pretty. And I actually took a screenshot and I'll send it to you later. But like all this stuff, I feel like it's like, I don't think it maybe works with a different artist, but it doesn't have this kind of effect. The way that Travel's art is. And I think not only is the storytelling and the family dynamics and Buddy himself, I feel like the story is going well, but like the art too, I remember at this time, the art too was like something I never had really seen before, at least in a like a DC Marvel kind of property. And so it was nice to see this type of art show up in these kind of books. So, and even like, I was thinking about that. I was like, man, they really rebooted the New 52 and said, let's make an Animal Man book. And it lasted a while.
I know, that's when they were, I mean, that New 52, I mean, they were pretty ballsy with a lot of their decisions. So, but I feel like this, like we talked about this with issue one. I mean, it just kind of like Bat and Swamp Thing and, you know, kind of just like went under the rug for me, but I really wish I got it when it was coming out.
And then, Alex, you were talking about Agents of Shade and stuff like that. I think, yeah, this was a time when DC was a little more gutsy, and I don't know if... I think they still are to a point, but not really...
But not in the canon universe. If you're doing Black Label, yes, you could do any of this.
Right.
Stuff. And I would love to see an Animal Man come into DC proper and have the guts to show us this many guts and this many deformities. And this, I mean, this book is fucking freaky. And if you mix it with reading Swamp Thing at the same time, mm-hmm, they're both badass scary.
And I actually was going to say, I think... Not all, but I think if you go back to like that Alan Moore run of Swamp Thing, which we reviewed on the show prior, go check that out. Roots of the Swamp Thing, I think the episode's called. That also had this kind of like horror element where it's kind of like a grotesque kind of horror. And this book kind of mimics that in a way, but it's not as dark, even though there are things that are really like that one takes place in a swamp. This one takes place, and I think this is obviously something that's intentional, and I feel like it adds to the book that you can clearly see everything. It's just that it's fucking scary. You know what I mean? Like, there are things that bump in the night, but these guys don't even care to hide in the dark. These things that are coming out, because they are so much powerful.
Not just wants to ruin your life.
Well, yeah, and now next issue they're going to be fully in, so it's going to get a little crazy.
And I believe...
This is one of those books where I'm almost at that point where I kind of want to offer to you guys, can we just read the whole damn thing?
How many issues are there?
29.
Holy Jesus. Well, I think after the first six, we'd have to do at least 2 weeks or something.
We might have to do what we did with Saga and talk about it in chunks. But I was thinking the same thing, because I was like, even when we're done with this, I think I'm going to finish it. So, again, because it is something that I feel like... And I don't know if this could be, and I'm putting that out there, that it might be my comic reading habits has slowed down since that time. But I really, like, reading this book was like, I don't know, there's nothing that has this kind of feeling right now. Where it feels like a superhero, but you get the horror element to it, and it feels like you got to keep going. Like, and maybe it's the, but actually, Garrett can speak to this, because I was going to say, maybe it's because I've seen it before, because and it's easy for me to kind of redigest it. But I think it reads good on the first read, too.
Oh, well, definitely.
And that's the thing right now is I did the first read, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I hit a wall because I can't read any farther into Swamp Thing until I pick up other issues, that I'm now just rereading these issues to refresh my memory. And they're so good to just reread again. And I'm still surprised by some of the things I may have missed the first time I read it. This book is phenomenal. Like you said, the hero, the superhero-ness added with the horror aspect, the family dynamic is fantastic. I mean, when Buddy is talking to Ellen, right? It's Ellen is her name, the mom.
Yeah,
I think so.
And she's talking about what, you know, I was concerned when we had a kid, when we had Maxine. What if she had your powers? Clearly, she's fucked up and she has them. And when she turns that guy's hand into the chicken, he goes, "I'm gonna go call the cops." And Buddy just, you know, the wife is already kind of freaking out. He goes, "Well, it's going to be fine. It's his crazy word. His hand is back to normal. He's got no proof against your word. You know, it'll be handled." And also talk to Crenshaw, the detective from the first episode or first issue. This book is so well done. I can't help but want to keep reading it. I'm actually excited to get past the first five issues.
I will also say, and I think... it speaks to something you said earlier, Garrett, and something that Alex just said, is that this family is like used to being in this kind of world. So they really don't panic at these kind of things. And Buddy even said, like, to Ella at one point, was like, "This happens all the time." But she's like, "Yeah, but not with my kid, like with you." Like, she didn't choose to do this. And I think one of my favorite things of this, and that's the thing too, it has so many kind of genres that it dips into that, I think that's why I don't like you when you turn the page, you don't know which one you're going to kind of melt into in a way. If it's going to be horror, if it's going to be the dramatic kind of family drama part, it's going to be the supernatural kind of Red Palace stuff, and or even just like the superhero stuff, or even something to the effect of that neighbor attacking Cliff when he was trying to bury those holes or clean up those holes, and then he got his arm changed to a chicken arm. But like these kind of things, I feel like is what makes this book exciting is that it doesn't feel tethered to one kind of genre. But and also I do like that the characters, the family aspect of it, especially Alan and Buddy together, it doesn't feel like redundant, and doesn't also feel like that it falls into tropes of what you usually see with the family and like a bickering kind of couple. Like they understand each other, and she really wants to be like, I'm worried, and he's like, no, don't worry, I'm gonna protect her with my life, and then she's okay with it. She's like, okay. Like she's still not she's still worried about it, but she believes. It's like, dude, of course this guy's got superpowers. What else, how is she ever gonna be safer than with him? So if this thing is coming out and coming for them, he's like, let's go face it head on then. And I do love that, and I think it feeds that fact where you said they're not really that kind of like freaking out about it. I think that actually adds a nice element, because usually they would be freaking out about it.
Agreed. We're not dealing with any like secret tropes or like I don't understand what you're going through. It's like, hey, we've done this. Do what you got to do, but let's get this situation unfucked.
And I feel like, especially the amount of media that you watch, if you're somebody who watches a lot of it, the tropes of like somebody misunderstanding something or somebody keeping something back and like as a secret, and oh no, like how am I going to get out of this predicament? I think a lot of people use that for conflict reasons, to add conflict to the story. But when you read a story like this and there's enough conflict going on already, I don't need them also being in conflict, which I feel like a lot of books or any kind of media actually falls into. It's like something's going on big like this, and then also they can't even work as a team. I do like that they work as a team here, and I do like that even though it's an Animal Man book, it really is Animal Man and family. And I can't say more without spoiling stuff in the future, but that's probably one of my favorite aspects of this book. I'm getting reminded of it as we read it more and more. So, looking forward to number 3. Of course, we end in a gross way with the people being eaten at the zoo, and who knows what we'll get in 3. Oh, we forgot even to mention his eyes bled again, and he got all these tattoos.
So that seems like the smallest thing in this whole issue.
It does. But if you remember issue 1, the cover was showing these tattoos, and so it's kind of nice to see now that he has them. Yep. And Alex, that's obviously going to be your Halloween costume next year. So,
yeah, I am almost at that point where I want to go back and read the other Animal Man stuff. And it all started with Green Hell, when she shows up and is doing the Animal Man, Animal Person, Animal Woman stuff. It was fantastic. And that's what really got me wanting to read this book, because I remember you, Marvin, talking about it so much and that you liked it. And obviously that was my first time getting into comics and actually buying them as they came out. But man, I just want to go back and read that Grant Morrison run of Animal Man and to just dip into that world.
I will warn you, it's not like a horror book. That one is like superhero mainly. So like, that's when he was a stuntman. So it's like, it's very also meta. Like he does like talk to you while you're reading it, Animal Man. So it is great, but it isn't
what I think it is.
Okay. It's not going to be more of this. It's going to be different, but also good. I will say also he's being slept on. Animal Man's costume top 10. I'm just going to put that out there. The white with the like the dark blue and the white top 10. So I dress up like that, Alex, for Halloween. You can dress up as that, and then walk down the street with the legs of a unicorn and
fuck yeah, and the horn with
the neck of a giraffe. What would be the worst combo to pull from the animal world? Like the flight of a puffin?
Flight of a puffin, the movement speed of a snail.
You go snail, you go sloth.
So, yeah, at least they have big claws. I imagine I'd almost have to be like a poisonous snail to do any damage.
You know what, Alex? I'm going to say you can choose either one, but you are going to also have the discharge of a snail. So.
Oh, jeez.
That might speed me up.
We don't need that Alex juice getting everywhere.
I'm making gravy.
And then finally, the eyes of a bat, obviously.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Which I think, I feel
blind
like
is a bat.
I feel like that's one of those urban myths, right? Bats aren't that blind. Or are they blind?
Dark.
It's just dark out. Yeah.
They're just dark out. They live in the darkness, but they use echolocation.
But there's nothing wrong with their eyes.
No.
They don't. They just don't use them. They don't need them.
Yeah. So they're not blind. It's a
fuck their eyes.
They're just they just say fuck these eyes. Which, by the way, if they have something, and I was gonna say, and we see it happen with those guards in this issue, not guards, what do you call them, zookeepers, that if you have any kind of like rot in you, whether it be like cancer or like an appendage that was once broken off, and you have like scar tissue, any kind of rot, they can take you over like that. And who the fuck doesn't have rot? I guess a newborn. Newborns versus old people.
Well,
Alex, you got rot in you?
Children of the corn, man. Newborns.
Of course,
they
got rot in me. Yeah, so many scars and cuts. Yeah, I'd be rotted over immediately.
Plus that.
Have you seen Alex's gray hair? Come on.
I guess that's the definition of rot. Yeah, I was going to say your hair is. Yeah. I was going to.
Just kidding. You're a silver fox, Alex.
Just losing my hair color. Damn.
Garrett, I was going to call out that it was the monster energy blood, but.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. It might be the hair, actually.
I remember where we used. I know we're ending, but. Where we used to all work, I remember Alex buying, I think we had like a tent sale and it was like 100 and some monsters. And I was like, man.
I remember that one time.
It's a big dick swinging right there.
Speaking of Alex buying large quantities of stuff, we had the half and halves on sale, the cans. And this motherfucker, he loaded up. That was like 100 cans.
Arnie Palmer's? The Arnie
Palmer's. Yeah, Arnold Palmer half and half, no sugar.
Yeah. Wow. That was an Alex before he fell into the deep hole of Monster Energy drink.
Well, tonight I made a cup of coffee and then I thought, but
tonight?
I needed water.
Tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, bro. Good luck going to bed at like 4 a.m.
My blood, like you said, my blood is just filled with caffeine. So who gives a shit? I'm going to go chat after the show, go to bed.
You, Alex. Your body just adapted to the caffeine. He was born with it.
Yeah. You drink it. You adapted to it. I was born into it. First I break your soul, or what? Break your spirit. Then your body.
Alex came out of the womb. Speaking of babies versus old men, Alex came out of the womb and right away slapped the doctor and then took the Coke out of his hands and drank it down right away.
So, Doc, where's the cup of coffee?
That's how I know Alex is always going to, right away, he's ready to fight, and he's also ready to drink some caffeine.
I have a cup of coffee every morning, and at 8 a.m., I drink my Monster, and I work on that through the day, and sometimes you have to have a second. And then a cup of coffee later that evening. So I literally run off from caffeine all day long.
I'm with you on the two energy drinks a day. I do iced caffeines now because it's water and caffeine instead of I used to do Monster. But then after, I heard that Monster over time makes your blood super thick, man. So
I get cut, I heal right away, though.
Yeah,
oh, God, dude. It's like an ooze.
And you heard bad. He heard and heard he could be Wolverine.
He's like, well, another.
Also, Garrett, I don't think you're one to give Alex advice. Didn't you used to take caffeine pills, too?
Caffeine pill, but I wouldn't have energy drinks.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing both at the same time.
Oh, no, I'm not insane.
I thought you were like cracking open a can of Monster with downing three pills.
Wash them down.
Yeah, I would take a whole container full of caffeine pills and just down it like an energy drink.
Yeah. He's still awake from that.
Nothing
time,
like,
too.
Huh?
You haven't slept since then.
I am still awake. That's right. I feel like this is all one big dream.
6 years later.
That's why when we're like, he knows exactly how long it's been since we've seen an issue of Black Monday Murder, because he's been awake since then.
Right.
He's counting the days.
I'm still reading that script.
He's like Jonathan Hickman, I cannot sleep until you put out one more issue, at least. You basically are striking yourself. You're on a sleep strike.
That's right.
No sleep till Black Monday Murders. So, WednesdayComics.com, that's the website. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. And actually, I feel I did want to make an announcement. It should be this announcement at the beginning of the show, but there are more tools that I can use with creating podcasts, but to do so, then it only goes on Spotify. So I may be doing that. We'll see. So if you are listening in a different way, go ahead and go over to Spotify. the podcast version or the podcast sections are free. It doesn't cost anything, even though, you know, see, obviously Spotify has its own premium program, but you don't have to be part of that to listen to the show. So we'll see, though. I'm still throwing it back and forth. Might add a little production value to this show. Who knows? Instead of me sitting here staring at Batman's eyes, my son's got one of these big head Batmans on the wall. And and this used to be his room, but now it's the office. And I'm just staring into his eyes right now, his white, white eyes.
It's like, I am the knight.
Yeah, the old blue and yellow, no better looking Batman. The ears are a little small, I'll give it that.
But you like yours, so your ears tall and thick, right?
Yeah. Rootsoftheswampthing.com, go there, figure out that swampy how he does things. As Alex stated, Scott Snyder wrote him for a while, and pretty soon becomes in tangent with the Animal Man books. Not so much that you need to read both of them, but you do get out, you do give some stuff out of it if you read the other one too. Go there, rootsoftheswampthing.com. Also, Rainbow Comics and Cards. .com, supercon.com, beyond the con,
beyond to, the super, to infinity.
Jeez, I keep calling
or
it
to the con and beyond, something like that.
Go to supercon, that's like Sue as Sioux Falls, S I O U X, con, con.com. We're bringing Phil Hester again to the supercon, so go there and get an autograph, get your Gotham City signed. Get your family tree signed. Phil will be there. I did see we have, speaking of Guardians, Sean Gunn will be there. That's coming up soon, and I've been thinking more and more of it. And this year, beyond the con, if that's what it's called, Infinity, whatever it's called, I know Wednesday Comics will be there, and I will be stomping on the rows. Alex is going to be on the hunt for something at that time. Who knows? It might be games. It might be Marvel Legends. We'll
see. It's SuperCon to Sioux Falls and beyond.
Listen, I know we've been supported since day one. And I know we're a sponsor, Mr. Phil Hester, and we will continue to be. But I need to talk to somebody over there about that long title. It should just be To Beyond Con. So even rhymes, To Beyond Con. There we go. We'll be at that convention, and I doubt this. So don't put all your eggs in one basket with your hopes and dreams. But I do feel like maybe we can get hashtag SOS1 to make an appearance. Probably not. I mean, it's a very slim chance. But in a world of hopelessness, sometimes you need that 1%. So hold on to that hope. We'll see. If he is there, he will be signing autographs, but only for the $13. If he's still bringing in cash. He does not deal in checks. He does not deal in MoneyGram, Western Union, or any of that. So
he will take your Dogecoin.
I was going to say, he will take Doge.
It's pretty valuable.
He will take the Doge. He's only, you know what, actually, Alex, find me at Wednesday Comics on Twitter, at the AP Keaton, and find Garrett at Garrett2188. Speaking of Twitter and Dogecoin, did you know that Corey and Elon are the only two people that have Dogecoin now in the world?
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
So Garrett's the second richest person in the world. I like it.
You know what? Corey could have cashed out like $800 and said, he's like, hold on, let me hold. And now it's only worth like $100. If that.
And that's why
he's an idiot.
He's not getting any more slice of the pie. You can't hold a pie so long that it goes bad. God, this guy over here. I'm telling you, I do know he's a part of the show, and I do call him. But if he removes out of that of the entertainment capital, I might have to find a new entertainment capital. I'm just kidding, Corey. If you listen to this, which I know you're not, you don't get this far. but you're welcome on the show anytime. Because originally he was going to be a part of the show permanently, but he's the one who can't make it work. So
that's right.
He needs his rest, so, which I feel like he would stick around more, but also he has nothing to contribute to the comic talk.
That's right.
So maybe one day he'll read the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think I would be Alex. If you could be a Spider-Man, which version would you be? You can make it up too.
Oh,
like for instance, I would be Tortilla Spider-Man. And instead of spinning out webs, it just spits out tortillas. And I would go into a burrito business. Now, you don't have to be a superhero, you know?
I would be the Kraven, the not so much the Hunter Spider-Man.
There actually is a Spider-Man that's there's a Kraven. He was just in the latest Spider-Verse book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously. I'll send you a screenshot.
Kraven. Yeah. Maybe that's the son.
I would probably pick Spider-Man 2099. I mean, you know, obviously don't have the powers. Give me the fucking suit with all the gadgets and gizmos, and I'll take care of it from there.
You know, Garrett, you have it. Let me turn myself up here so you can hear me. I'm going to allow that, but also know that that's the safest answer I've ever heard in my life. 2099. Of course.
That doesn't seem like a UN. Actually, does.
Who wants to be? Yeah, I guess he likes Batman Beyond,
Because he wants to be Batman Beyond, but this is the Spider-Man world.
Update, though. Yeah. Update. I have not watched that series since we finished Beyond the White Knight, so.
You motherfuckers. I swear you're sitting on a gold mine of entertainment.
I watched the first three episodes of it, and it was fine.
Fine.
I haven't been able to watch the rest.
You could sit through fucking season one of Batman the Animated Series, but you can't get through more than three episodes of Batman Beyond.
It was late at night. I watched it after I was done talking to you, yahoos. Gosh.
I'll tell you what.
Disappointed.
I can't really get on board with the cane that he has. So,
well, he has to be on board, if at all, he can't walk.
Because I see it, and it's a good joke. I would laugh normally. I see it, and it makes me think of Kane, Michael Kane, and then I think of Michael Kane, Alfred, and I remember how Bruce broke his heart, and he cried in that second movie. And so Batman Beyond, it just seems like it's going to make me cry, and I can't do it. Can't do it. Doesn't he have a dog in that show, Titus?
Ace.
Oh, it is Ace.
But also, you get one of the best movies of all time, Batman Beyond Return of the Joker, which is rated R and amazing.
It's because a kid gets almost fucking murdered in it.
That's part of the plot, but not the whole plot. Just watch it.
All right. For Wednesday Comics, my name is Terry McGinnis.
I'm Miguel O'Hara.
You motherfuckers. Well, what does that leave me with? I guess I'm Cosmic Ghost Rider Frank Castle, because you guys took all the cool suits.
Spider-Ham.
So. You're Spider-Ham.
Hey, everyone. Be as super as you can want to be and keep turning those pages. You motherfucker.